And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Hello, everyone, and Happy New Year. Today's Wednesday, January 3rd. We are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Gino. I'm here with Kevin. I'm here with Darren. Please listen to us any way you get your podcast. Like, subscribe, hit that button, follow us, share what we're sending out. Follow us on Facebook. Give us a like. We need those kind of things going on. NFL Week 17 is done. 1 week left. Some playoff spots are up for grabs. We'll get to that in a little bit. Jets and Giants both lost. The bowls are all but done. Michigan and Washington both advanced to the college championship. That's coming up on Monday. We got the Knicks making a trade. We got a couple of Major League Baseball starters off the market. Yankees and Mets stay quiet. But we're going to start it off with some NFL action. Locally, Jets lost to Cleveland 37-20. That was a Thursday night game. And then the Giants lost to the Rams 26-25. Kyrian Williams had three touchdowns in that game. Kev, why don't you start us off with a little Jets?
Yeah, the Jets, we were talking about it a little bit last week when we were recording the podcast. 34-17 at halftime, probably the first time all year the defense did not show up at all. And, you know, luckily, in some ways, the Jets didn't tease us. You know, Jets are great for making a little bit of a push and stay in the game. You get sucked into it. Jets gave you no reason to get sucked into it the second half. Same things we've said all year. It's not worth going into this point. Breece Hall, the two silver linings. Breece Hall, another good game, 126 total yards. At least, you know, coming off the knee surgery, he had that lull midseason. He's finishing off strong. Gives you some hope for next year that, you know, normal conditioning off season, he'll come out and have a really good year next year. Garrett Wilson got his 1,000 yards. Hopefully Aaron Rodgers can get him happy next year. And that's about it for me. Darren?
Well, you know, like you said, Jets didn't really show up defensively. The more you watch this season, and even parts of last season, the more I realize that Mosley just has a tendency to get beat a lot more. I think he's by name recognition. I think we overrate C.J. Mosley as a linebacker. Whitehead sucks. We talked about that. The O-line's a train wreck. You know, really next year, you're hoping that AVT comes back. And you're banking on Tippmann, and maybe you think Warren can play a little tackle for you. I don't know. I don't know if there's anybody besides those three guys I'd even bring back. Everybody else could go, as far as I'm concerned. The whole coaching staff's back, which has everybody disappointed. You know, I mean, there's really nothing exciting. They released Dalvin Cook today to give him a chance to sign on. They save a little bit of bonus money. You know, and everybody's like, oh, we didn't use him right. Use him right? Would you want him on the field for Breece? Like, what kind of a fan? What are you, an idiot? No, you shouldn't have been used at all. Should have been watching Izzy all year. Kev?
Yeah, once Breece showed he was healthy enough, and once the season started going downhill, there's no need to play Cook. I thought the Jets did the right thing by releasing him. Let him have a chance to hook on with somebody. Why not?
Exactly. They save a little bit of bonus money, and he gets a chance to sign on with somebody else. So yep, it all works out. Still, to me, and we'll talk about it later, I still want to beat the Patriots. So I know most fans are like, oh, just lose. And the draft pick.
I
talked about this last week. I want to beat the Pats. I want to beat Belichick. I hope it's his last game. I hope he leaves with a loss to us. I would love that. That's about all I got.
Exactly. It's been 15 straight games where we've lost to the Patriots. We haven't beaten them in 8 years. Let's go out and win this damn game.
One last point on that. So the last time we won in Foxborough was the playoff game, the Bart Scott playoff game. And the last time we won a regular season game was 2008. Okay? So, you know what? That's 15 years of demons, basically. I'd like to get the win. Yep. So, anyway, we move on from the Jets. You don't want to hear about it. We don't want to talk about it. Gee.
Okay, Giants got they lost to the Rams 26-25. Kyrian Williams had three touchdowns. Giants hung in. Taylor played pretty good game. Giants wound up losing in the end, 26-25. Kev?
Yeah, Taylor gave you what you thought he would give you. You know, we know everybody knows what Tyrod Taylor is at this point, and he did just what you would expect. Ozuski with a 94-yard punt return touchdown with three and change left. Once you have the encroachment penalty, I agree with Dable, they're going for the win. You get it to the one-yard line, go for the two-point conversion. You still had enough time that they got the ball back, that even when they missed.
Yeah. It's a good play.
Their plays once they got to about the 37-yard line were atrocious. You know, you sort of settled for a 54-yard field goal from Crosby, which was wide.
And but, you know,
but the thought process of going for two after the encroachment, all for it.
My thing on this was I still would have started DeVito, and I understand, you know, they played a really good game. Taylor's playing for a contract for next year somewhere. Probably will end up somewhere where the rookie quarterback gets drafted, and they'll just put him in because he seems to fit that right. The funny thing about this is Barkley missed a two-point conversion. It was a little behind him. Still, I think, should have had it. And then he dropped a pass on the last drive. I mean, Tyrod went for a scramble after that, but before that, Barkley could go all the way if he gets an open field. So Barkley made two errors, which is very uncharacteristic for him. I've been ripping Dable all year. I kind of impressed a little bit on the way this team has hung in compared to what my Jets have done. So maybe I've been a little hard on Mr. Dable. But overall, they were playing a hot Ram team that was trying to secure a playoff berth, and they gave them all they could. I thought the Giants played well. Jake?
All right, so we'll start it off in the AFC. This is a little combination recap and then looking ahead. So Baltimore got the win in a rout. They blew out Miami 56-19. Lamar had 5 touchdowns. They're the number one seed. So Baltimore is locked up the number one. Miami at this moment is in the 2 slot at 11-5. They lost to Baltimore. So they're in the spot now where they play the Bills. If they win, they win the AFC East and excuse me, and the number 2 seed. A loss, and they're going to drop down into the playoff. Where they're going to wind up in the 6 and the 7, we got to find out where based on everybody else going on.
It'd be 5 or 6, Jay. I don't think it would be 7.
Well, it won't be 5. Be
I think it's really 6.
Cleveland's 5, so
right. Yeah, it was so a 6. I guess it would be a 6. That far enough back. I think they only have 6 losses.
No, you're right. They would be the 6.
Buffalo could drop.
Correct.
We'll know going into the Sunday night game exactly what's on the line there. Yep. Buffalo, with the right combination, is playing to win the division or be out of the playoffs entirely.
Yep.
A lot has to happen for that to happen. Pittsburgh needs a lot of miracles, a lot of stuff. But anyway, yeah.
Okay. So the 3 spot is Kansas City. They beat Cincinnati 25-7. Butker had 6 field goals. They win the AFC West. They're the 3 seed. And then the 4 seed is up for grabs. The 5, we'll get back to that in a second. And the 5 seed is Cleveland. They beat the Jets. We just talked about it. They're the 5. The 4 slot right now is Jacksonville at 9-7. They beat Carolina 26-0. And Jacksonville now plays the Titans this week. And at the same time, the day before, you're going to have the Texans playing the Colts. All 3 of those teams in this mix-up now to see who actually winds up in the 4 if one of those, you know, one of those 3 teams is going to be out in any scenario, basically. And then Indianapolis needs a win and a Jags loss to Tennessee to get in. Houston wins, they're in. Jacksonville wins, they're in. And then there's a lot of combinations of one of those teams not getting in based on other things happening. This is a toss-up. This is basically exactly how we thought the AFC South was going to wind up, with just a big mishmash of teams.
Barry? Yeah, well, yeah, sure. I mean, so it's a just to go through it real quick, Baltimore solidifies the 1. I mean, and you know what? I haven't been impressed with them all year, but they've come on strong late. Miami again, they lose Chubb with 3 minutes to go. Big question mark was why was he in the game? And actually, what happened was McDaniel explained, and I'm not a McDaniel fan, but his explanation made sense to me because we had pulled all the offensive players, we were about to pull all the defensive players on the next drive, and then the offense turned it over on the first play. So by the time we got the messaging out, it was too late. So we were starting to talk to everybody, and it just happened. I mean, I'll give him the pass on that because it was a 1 play drive with the turnover. The Miami's a 3-point dog at home with the better record for a Buffalo team that I know has won 4 in a row, but they struggled like hell to get by the Chargers. and they got four turnovers in the first half, basically the first quarter against the Patriots, and only held on by six. So I don't see this love affair of how great Buffalo's playing. What was Josh, 15 for 30 this week against the Pats? I mean, it wasn't like anything great. You haven't seen Diggs in a while. James Cook has been the best offensive player. The Dolphins, on the other hand, you know, offensive lineman going down over there. You know, Hill is the guy. If you can keep Hill somewhat in check, the Dolphins aren't great. Tua throws picks against when he's under pressure. He does lollipops. They're easy to catch. I think Kev can catch a couple of these passes. I mean, they might fall right in there. He might use his body to catch it, but he's going to hold on. And, you know, you bank on that. So that's the intriguing part of the Sunday night. Kev?
I was going to say, for the Ravens, you know, I mean, like you said, very impressive back-to-back taking care of the 49ers and Dolphins very easily in both games. Like you said, Gino, Lamar with the 5 touchdowns, a perfect passer rating, 18 yep. for 21, 335 yards rushing. Did he just clinch the MVP with that performance?
Probably.
Well, McCaffrey doesn't play the last week. Neither does McCaffrey's not playing. Well, everybody's done, basically. I don't think Lamar's going to play either. So
I don't think Lamar's playing either. So, you know.
Yep. Dolphins, like you said, they're home for Buffalo. And like you said, Buffalo, I mean, they hung on to beat them 27-21, beat the Patriots. You know, they're enough to win. Give them credit. They won. The NFL, they won the game. But
that was a home game, Kev.
I know.
And the Charger game is basically a home game, too, because the Chargers have no home field advantage. They've struggled with two bad teams basically at home in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Sets up for a great, great finish to the season Sunday night.
Well, listen, it's a fun one. You know, we both had the Jets in the playoffs, and I had the Bills not in. But
yeah.
We'll review that later.
Chiefs down 17-7 in the second quarter, rally behind 6 straight Butker field goals. Chiefs need to figure out this wide receiver crew. I mean, they've got Rice and not much else. I mean, Scantling, can Scantling hang on to a pass?
Well, between Scantling and Kadarius Toney, they can't catch anything. I mean,
my goodness.
Watson's, you know, listen, the thing is, they got to find a way to get Ross on the field and Richie James. And those are the other two guys that you have to try to get the ball in their hands, because at least they make people miss and they somewhat catch the ball. Rice, and to be honest, Kelsey's been invisible for about 5 weeks.
Yeah.
So we haven't seen Kelsey in a while.
He's too busy with Taylor.
I don't think it's a lack of hustle. I think that they're just keying on him. And I think that the loss of the left tackles hurt Patrick a little bit, but they're getting too many field goals. But that defense, once again, they fell down 17-7. And that defense just shut them down. I know it's a backup quarterback, but you still have Jamar Chase catching 2 balls. You still had 6 sacks. And especially at the end of the game, it looked like Cincinnati's O-line just, you know, looked like the Jets took over. It was nice of them to fly to Kansas City. You give them a break for the last drive because the Chiefs just dominated.
Jaguars did what they had to do. I mean, yeah. Bryce Young just capping off a bad year for him. You know, 19 for 32, 112 yards. Definitely not as good as CJ Stroud this year, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, Stroud's a borderline all pro here. You know, he's a good player.
I mean, you know, CJ Beathard efficient enough against the Panthers. Then you had the Panthers owner during the game, you know, throwing beer on the Jaguars fans and getting fined $300K. Yeah, there's a guy you want leading in your franchise.
Not good.
Like I said, it comes down to Jacksonville's the one that knows if they win, they win the South.
Correct.
If they lose, then it's the Colts Texans winner wins the South. Yep. If the Colts Texans tie, that brings up 8,000 different other scenarios.
It's hard to imagine it, but I mean, I guess it could happen. But the way offense is played now, it's far less likely with the two offenses. Another team that's the home underdog in a winner take all. It's only a 1-point spread. But I was a little surprised to see Texans as a favorite on the road in this one.
Yeah, so was I. I would think the Colts would have been the favorite. You know, again, by a point, I wouldn't go much more than that. You know, Stroud's better than Minshew, but I think you still have to take advantage. You still have to factor in home field advantage in that spread, and I don't think the lines show that.
And again, you still have Jonathan Taylor on this team, and the defenses are relatively comparable.
Yeah.
And then the only other team we didn't talk about in the AFC that still has a remote shot is the Steelers.
They never go away.
Yeah, they would need to beat the Ravens. Then they need a Bills loss at the Dolphins. And then, God help us, they don't need any ties happening because that would just completely knock them way out. Kev?
The simple thing is, you know, a Buffalo win or a Jacksonville loss gets them in with a win. Steelers can lose. I was looking at the scenarios. If they lose but Denver wins, that gets Denver involved with the tie-breaking scenarios. And all of a sudden, and the Colts and Texans do not end in a tie. And the Steelers
That's
can
still
get with a loss, actually. Yeah. No, but again, Tomlin, another winning record.
Every year, 17 in a row.
Yep.
And the Steelers are going to wind up playing the Ravens on Saturday without Lamar, by the way. Tyler Huntley's in the game, so that has to help their chances in some way. I mean, come on.
Some, but.
Bill, you know, Baltimore, Pittsburgh still arrive. The backups on Baltimore will be out there playing hard. I'm not saying that they'll beat Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh kind of does it. I mean, this week against Seattle, they rushed for over 200 yards. And it was, you know, both of them, Harris and Warren, each had nice days. Warren 75, Harris was over 100. And then, you know, Pickens, somebody told him he's a football player, and he had 7 catches for over 100 yards. You know, both coaches usually find a way to keep their teams competitive. And, you know, this time Tomlin ended up out front. Ever since they switched to Mason Rudolph, the offense has exploded in Pittsburgh. But like you said, they have a shot. It's kind of remote, but they have a shot.
Yeah. The thing that hurts the Steelers the most is the Steelers have lost to both the Colts and Texans.
Yeah, they don't win either tiebreaker.
No, they lose both head-to-head.
I think they lost both pretty badly, too. I think they lost like 30-6 to the Texans, and I don't think they were that close to the Colts either.
If I see the scenarios right, though, Colts-Texans, the winner is guaranteed a playoff spot.
Yes.
It's just a matter of either the wild card or with a Jacksonville loss, they are the division.
If one of the team wins, that they're in, yes.
Yep.
The winner there has a better shot than if Buffalo loses. Buffalo would be the one that could fall out, you know, so that's the interesting part.
The simplest order of operations is Bills win, they're in. Jags win, they're in. Colts win. Versus the Texans, they're in. Vice versa, Texans beat the Colts, they're in. And if any of those scenarios don't happen, then you get into the whole Pittsburgh scenario where they could get in based on wins and losses and everybody else all over the place.
Yep.
All right.
But right now, just before we get into it, just to look at it real quick, if we had the playoffs right now in the AFC, the Chiefs would play either the Bills or the Dolphins in a first round in Arrowhead. Okay, you would have let's say it's the Dolphins. Let's put them in the order like that. The Chiefs would play the Bills again in another 3-6 game, right? Then you would have the 2-7 matchup, which would be the Dolphins against, let's call it, the Colts because they're home. No other reason. Okay.
Okay.
And then you have the 4-5, which you know, Jacksonville against
Browns
against Cleveland. So you've got like, there's not the only marquee one of those really is the Chiefs, you know, Chiefs Bills or Chiefs Dolphins if it goes the other way. That's the only real marquee one in the AFC. NFC, I think, has a couple of chances at it. But imagine Chiefs Bills in the first round playing. It's just a little bit, it's definitely a marquee matchup. That's all I can say.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, if that is the matchup, I'm not surprised if Buffalo winds up being a favorite going in. The way Kansas City has limped in with some of these games the last 3 or 4 weeks. Ooh.
Listen, and we're going to get to the NFC now. Both Super Bowl teams from last year are in serious trouble, and we'll move on. Go ahead. Segue to you, G.
All right, so NFC. So we'll start it at the top. San Francisco, 12-4. They beat Washington. They are the number one seed. In the two slot at the moment is Dallas at 11-5. They win and they secure the number two seed. Detroit is the three at the moment at 11-5. They lost to Dallas in another close game. By the way, in that game, Lamb, 13-for-227-1.
We're going to talk a lot about that game.
Good. In the four spot at the moment is Tampa Bay at 8-8. They lost to New Orleans to complicate a lot of stuff. Philadelphia's in the five seed at 11-5. They lost to Arizona. The Rams are 9-7 in the sixth spot. They basically secured the sixth seed. And then the seventh spot at the moment is Green Bay. They beat Minnesota 33-10. So let's take it from the top. We'll work our way down. So San Francisco secured the number one. Dallas is the number two. They win and they secure the number two seed. Yep. If they lose, then Detroit could take over that if they win. We'll see what happens with that. Philly needs a win and then a Dallas loss to win the NFC East. That would make them the two seed. Dallas would then fall to the five seed. And then the four seed is the NFC South, which is a mess. We'll get into that in a couple of minutes. And then Green Bay at the moment is the seven. And they need to win at the versus the Bears, and they would secure the seven. Where do you guys want to start? Take it away, Darren.
I'll start at the top. San Francisco got lucky that Brissett got hurt. Brissett was leading them up and down the field a little bit. They didn't fall apart till Howell. And how far has he fallen in the last month? He was like, well, we have our quarterback to, wow, we got to draft a quarterback. So it became a real big difference. But I think you know, McCaffrey gets hurt and Elijah Mitchell rushes for 80 yards without a problem. I mean, you know, the embarrassment of riches in San Francisco. I think Kevin, I, and you also, Gino, all want to talk about the Dallas-Detroit game, though.
What, something happened to that game?
Go ahead.
Well, there was a lot that happened. I mean, you started off, Lamb fumbles out of bounds early, right? They have a chance to go up 14-3 and kind of start doing what Dallas does at home. And he gets the ball inside the one, and he fumbles it through the end zone. And, you know, Detroit takes over, and it's all well and good. Detroit moves down the field. They go for it on a fourth and goal from the eight or the seven or whatever it was. Fourth from the four. They get stopped, so they don't get their points either. But then, you know, the game goes back and forth a little bit. You feel like Dallas was kind of in control for most of it. Goff got picked off twice. You know, Prescott got picked off once early, and they were driving as well. I mean, Dallas could have legitimately been up 21-3 in this game. And he got picked off in the red zone and all that other stuff. But then we get down to the final part of the game, and Detroit looks like they're done for. They don't have a lot of time left on the clock. They march down the field. They get all the way down, and they score the touchdown. And they're down one, and they go for two. And you say, all right, it's Campbell's way all year.
He's consistent.
It's not yeah, out, it's not he out. Possibly can.
Yeah.
They convert. The refs, Allen's crew, which is just as bad as any crew we've seen all year, claims that the wrong guy reported, which video evidence will show you that did not happen. 68 did report. He said 70 reported. That was not the case. So they wave it off, move him back to the seven. I know Dan Campbell likes to go for it. From the 7-yard line, you kick the extra point. I know he got robbed, and Detroit should have taken the lead. And with 23 seconds left, I'm not going to say that they win the game because Dallas doesn't need much, and CeeDee Lamb was running free all day. They could have had a chance for a field goal, and the kid on Dallas hasn't missed a field goal all year, all the way out to 60 yards. So you're not saying they won it, but they would have had the lead with 23 seconds and been in really good shape. But once you get pushed back to the 7, you have to kick the extra point. Then they get the offside, moving back up to the 3.5. But I still don't understand why in the world you had to. I know that you're aggressive, and I know that you love this going for two all the time. And all. I get it, but sometimes use your freaking head, Dan Campbell. You're going to cost your team in a big spot in the playoffs with one of these decisions. You can do that to San Francisco, where they have a shot at shutting you down. They may not, but they would have a shot. That's just my take on it. G, Kev, thoughts?
Yep. 1,000% right with you. 1,000% agreement with you. Unfortunately, can't get it over
if you hate
me.
But
I've got the same idea. You know, it's Campbell's MO. He's gonna go for two in that case to try to win the game there. Which on the road in Dallas, I agree with him. Go for the win.
I had no problem with the going from the two.
Well, like I said, once you get back to the 7, take your damn extra point. I don't care how badly the referee screwed up. And the fact that Brad Allen was not demoted all the way down to doing the Jets-Patriots game this weekend is a joke.
Yeah, they gave him a Saturday feature game this week.
I know.
Would they give him Steelers and Ravens?
Or I think the Steelers-Ravens.
Yeah, they gave him the Steelers-Ravens game. So they gave him like a standalone game again.
He deserved Jets-Patriots.
He deserves to not be a ref anymore.
Well, that too. We'll talk. That can be after the season.
You want to move him to line judge? Go ahead, but he's not a ref.
But that's how many times this year has Red Allen's crew screwed up?
It's almost that's every week, I feel
at
like.
Least four or five games that they've totally screwed up and play a big role in the outcome of the game. Gina?
It's atrocious. First off, Campbell, listen, we know he gets super aggressive in this stuff, but you got to take the extra point. Send the game to overtime, you jackass. I mean, when you're at the two, it's one thing. When you're at the seven, come on, man. Come on.
And you know what's funny? If they would have had a hold, I think he would have went for it from the 12. And listen, I mean, that's what I think he would have done. I'm not even trying to be funny with that.
And Darren, here's the thing, and you just said it because that's exactly what I was thinking, is that is he gonna do this stuff in the playoffs and cost them a game somewhere or cost them an opportunity for a win because he's trying to do stupid stuff like this? You know, listen, I heard a lot of different people interview a lot of different people about this call, about the ref. You know what? I don't get it. If the guy reported, I mean, from everything we heard, everything I've listened to up to now was that the confusion was that they thought it was number 70 and then 68 lined up inside. And if he's lining up inside, he can't be eligible. But nevertheless, you know, the one thing I got is when they say number 70 is eligible, how about someone saying, no, it's 68. You know, I mean, once you know he can't be eligible at that point because he's inside and not outside, you don't have to guard him. So does the play happen? And does the play happen exactly like that? I don't know, but it still looks like it's just, again, the visual of the bad refereeing just continues week after week with this league, and it's so bad. Darren?
They told this referee crew, this officiating crew, about the play before the game. Okay, there's no confusion here. The players knew, the officials knew what the players were going to run. They knew exactly how they were going to report. That's why it's inexcusable. It's not like, listen, it was a confusing play with a lot of confusing elements. I get it. But something could get screwed up. They actually went over the play with the officials before the damn game. The officials, you can't tell me you don't remember that.
Yeah.
But listen, I am not defending them because this is a horrible freaking call. But the only thing is that they may have said that before the game, but now you're in the last minute. The crowd's going crazy. Everything's happening. You got guys running in and out. He's looking at him. Did he make the signal? Because, I mean, the downward motion on their jersey is supposed to be the signal that they are eligible. So, you know, it looks like he does, but I don't, you know.
And then Allen looks at him, nods, walks away. I mean, it's not like.
I know. No, listen.
Listen, I get what you're saying, and I get the heck of nobody heard that. But you're sitting there worried about all the different intricacies of the play. You're not sitting there saying you heard somebody reported eligible. You're not sitting there thinking about whose number it was. You know who might be doing that? Kev, me, you. Nobody else is thinking that way. These are men out there playing football. This is not Mike McDaniel going out there playing strat. This is real stuff.
Your favorite coach.
So that's the two sport. That's the 2-3 seeds right now. Where do you want to go next with the NFC?
The South is the Saints. That game wasn't as close as the score indicated, nor was Mayfield's stats as good as they come out at the end. He threw for 300 yards and two scores. It was all crap. Simple fact of the matter is the Saints were up 23-0 in this game, and they were far superior in Tampa. The only problem is Tampa's only got one game left. They end up going to Carolina to play their last game, the worst team in football. All they have to do is beat this team, and they're in.
Yeah.
The Saints, who are the best team in the South, took too many weeks off in the middle, too many stupid games, too many bad decisions, too many, I don't know, just too much bad play for them. But they would be a team that would be a threat. I can't see Tampa beating anybody. Do you think Tampa can beat Philly?
No.
I don't. But I think Philly would struggle going into the dome? I do. The Saints have a good front four. They have a good front four. They have a shutdown corner in Lattimore. They have enough players there. DeMario Davis is a well above average middle linebacker. They have enough guys there to make that game exciting. I'm not saying they'd win, But none of us thought that Reggie Bush and the Saints were going to lose in Seattle with beast mode that time either. You know, you'd be surprised what happens in that loud dome. And the Eagles losing at home to the Cardinals, where Michael Carter beats the Eagles twice now. You got to love Michael Carter, right? Former Jet great. The Cardinals were a better team most of the game. They had the ball for most of the game. They controlled it. Philly took the lead. They came right back. The two coordinators left on Philly, and there's no answer. There's no answer for this team. They started off 10-1, losing only to the Jets, and we're all sitting there like, oh, the Jets got a lucky one. No, the Jets just did what everybody else should have been doing to them, making them play.
All right, so here's the situation for the NFC South. The Bucs win, they're in.
Yep.
The Saints would have to beat the Falcons and have the Bucs lose to get in. Oh. Or
and the other way, too.
That's right. Or win at the Falcons and have the Packers lose to the Bears, the Seahawks lose to the Cardinals. There's a lot of scenarios. The Falcons, there's only way in. It's a long scenario, but they are still mathematically alive. Well, they lost to Chicago.
Well, for the division, you know, Atlanta Saints winner is still alive. The loser is done.
Mm-hmm.
The winner needs Tampa Bay to lose.
Yeah.
That's a simple way. The wild card, the simplest one is Packers win, they're in.
Yep.
And that would be the rest. And that's it for the wild card, because we know Cowboys or Eagles are going to be the one wild card, and the Rams are the other one.
Yeah, and
the same for the Seahawks with a shot if the Packers lose. Packers lose, Seahawks win, they get it.
Yep.
Packers lose, Seahawks lose, and the Saints win, then I think the Saints get it, if I'm not mistaken.
The Vikings win, Green Bay loses, Seattle loses, and either Tampa or New Orleans loses, they're in. If the Saints win, plus a Seattle loss, plus a Green Bay loss. Seattle needs a win plus a Green Bay loss. I mean, it's just wild.
Still a lot of combinations.
Yep.
I mean, the thing about this, though, when we talk about the matchups right there, you have a shot at Goff versus Stafford. I mentioned it last week. I want to see that game. I want to see the 3-6.
That would be fun.
And it's almost pretty well secured, you know? And the Packers-Cowboys is a good old-fashioned rivalry, even though Dallas will be a heavy favorite over Green Bay. The 2-7 would be really cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm honestly praying for the Saints and to get that 4 and the Saints against the Eagles, because I think that'd be kind of fun. Bucs Eagles, you know, whatever. But Saints Eagles, I the Bucs have enough passing to give Philly's pass defense some trouble, but I think the Saints are just a little more physical. But the NFC is a little bit more wide open. It's exciting. The Rams right now playing as well as anybody.
All right, as it is, as of right now, who do you think are the two teams from the AFC that could get in and the NFC that could get in, based on where we are right now?
Okay, and for me in the NFC, I think the Bucs are going to get in. They're going to beat the Panthers and get in. And I think that I think the Seahawks are going to get in. I think the Packers are going to lose to the Bears.
Okay.
I think Fields has been playing real well. In the AFC, I think the Colts will find a way to sneak one by the Texans. And, obviously I think the Jaguars will win the division. And I think that the Bills will – I'm torn on this Bills-Dolphins game. I got to be honest. I thought the Bills were going to win going in, but now I'm leaning more toward Miami as a 3-point home dog. I don't understand the lack of respect. So I think the Bills will still find their way into the playoffs, but I think the Dolphins will win that division.
Okay. All right.
I think they'll win the division to start the year. I might as well stick with them.
Listen, I kind of see it around the same way you see it for most of these. So, you know.
Which ones do you disagree with?
No, I think Buffalo's winning. So I think they're going to wind up at the 2.
Okay, you think Buffalo. I have Miami. Okay.
I think Buffalo's winning. I think Miami then is the 6. And then – I think Jacksonville, Indianapolis.
Who wins Houston, Indianapolis? Who wins it?
I got this feeling that Houston winds up getting passed.
Okay.
That's the one.
I go Houston.
Yeah.
I think Jacksonville handles Tennessee.
Yep.
And I think since the game's in Miami, I think Miami somehow finds a way to win this game.
Okay.
NFC?
NFC, because they're playing Carolina, I think Tampa Bay wins. Carolina, so do I. So that takes care of that. And boy, that Chicago Green Bay game's tough.
Minnesota. I'm looking forward to watching it, to be honest. I'm really looking forward to that game.
Yeah.
Especially the way the Bears have come on lately. I don't know, man.
And the Bears have a whole other thing to deal with this offseason. Boy, Minnesota. You know, Detroit's not going to be playing people, I don't think.
No, Detroit's playing their starters.
Oh, are they?
I don't know when they're playing, but they're playing.
Minnesota's going back to Nick Mullins again because Hall was just so brutal the first half. I think the Saints beat the Falcons.
Me too.
I wouldn't be surprised if, well, Seattle and Arizona, but if Kyle, you know, I think Kyle Murray still wants to finish strong. It wouldn't shock me if Seattle lost at Arizona, other than if Chicago beats Green Bay, all of a sudden Seattle gets in.
Oh, and New Orleans will get in, you mean?
Yeah.
If Seattle lost that, and then New Orleans could get in.
Oh, that's.
Yeah.
But I think Seattle at Dallas or Green Bay at Dallas would both be pretty exciting games. I don't think Dallas loses to Washington, especially, I just don't see that happening. And we'll talk about it more during the offseason, but right now, is Justin Fields your quarterback if you're Chicago or you're drafting one? Just right now. We'll get more into it as the offseason goes. Just quick answer. Think, off the top of your head.
I think so. Okay. I think he stays your quarterback. I think you got two. You'll have two decent picks. One at the one slot. Whether or not you take the best player. Maybe at that point the best player that's not a quarterback winds up being Marvin Harrison Jr. You know. Maybe trade down a couple of spots, you know, that could happen, but I think it's Fields. Kev?
Fields playing so good, but you know, these GMs, they like to have that rookie contract for 5 years as a quarterback, and then Fields will be ready for the extension after next year. I don't think they pass on Caleb Williams. I really don't. And I think they trade Fields for a two. And rebuild that way.
Well, I hope that's not the case, because I would like Caleb. I would like Caleb to start in Washington next year, but that's besides the point.
I think it'll be Fields. I think that they're going to trade down, and I think they're going to accumulate abundance of picks and build a bit of an offensive dynasty around them. That's just what I think. But yeah, it could be either way. We'll get more into it as it goes. Yep. Not important now, but I just wanted to ask you.
Yep.
All right, let's head over to the college football bowls. A lot of bowl action the last week. Plus, we got the finalists for the championship coming up Monday. Darren?
Yeah, well, we're going to give you the appetizers real quick. Just run through them, and then we'll go to the main course. Clemson comes back to beat Kentucky 38-35 to Kevin's dismay. Damn. 42 points in the fourth quarter.
That was a fun game to watch.
Kentucky turned the ball over three times in the second half. That hurt him. Notre Dame routed Oregon State 40-8. It was 40-0. Oregon State, a running team, had 2 yards rushing and barely threw for three TDs.
I think that game shows, you know, the possibilities that, you know, when you get into these opt-outs and transfer portals and everything else, you know, Oregon State loses Yulia Galele, who is now in Florida State, and they didn't show up. The Irish lose Hartman, but Angeli or something like that steps in and leads them and puts up good numbers.
And also, Oregon State lost their entire coaching staff. A lot of that, they were in a little bit more disarray than Notre Dame was. They still had Freeman, and they still had the steadiness of the leadership.
But you think back, you know, before that was USC. You know, oh, they lost Caleb Williams. But, you know, Morris stepped in there.
And he played very well.
And had a great game, 6 touchdowns. So you never know.
No, the bowl games are a crapshoot. Yeah. Memphis jumped out early and holds off Iowa State 36-26. Hennigan threw for 364 and 4 TDs. Maryland routed Auburn 31-13. Should have told us that Michigan was going to beat Alabama. They scored touchdowns on their first three drives. Never a game. Wyoming-Toledo. I'm only going to highlight this game because, A, I like Wyoming. But this game ended 16-15. If you had an opportunity to watch this game, it meant that you had the Barstool app. Listening to Portnoy do these games is as bad as anything I've ever listened to in my life. He's a complete freaking moron. But I'll tell you this, Bowl was the first guy at North Dakota State to make that program a winner. He's been at Wyoming for 10 years. This was his last game. They won on a kick at the gun to win it 16-15. Kev had the cover with Ohio, with Toledo. Me and Gino lost minus four. They were down 15-6 in the fourth quarter. But the reason why I point out Craig Bowl here is because when they was interviewing him, he goes, well, we play football. We play old-fashioned football. We play with a fullback. We're going to hit you in the mouth. We're going to keep hitting you. And in the fourth quarter, you're going to get tired of it. They were down 15-6 in the fourth quarter, and Toledo got tired of it, 16-15. Wyoming wins. I was happy for that. LSU, 35, Wisconsin, 31. The Badgers gave an offensive performance we haven't seen all year. Mordecai threw for three touchdowns in this game. He had thrown for six the rest of the season. So, unbelievable. Nussmeier showed that they're not going to miss Daniels that much. He threw for 395 and three scores. He doesn't run as well, but my goodness, 998 total yards in this game. Tennessee crushed Iowa. Not a surprise.
Iowa didn't score. Shocking.
Iowa had 173 total yards.
Yeah.
Iowa Leiva threw for 151 in a touchdown and rushed for three more. He was a five-star freshman player. Looked really, really good. Missouri, Ohio State, 14-3. Missouri had two fourth-quarter touchdowns to win this game. It was 3-0 going in. Ohio State missed a field goal. And then Missouri came down for a score, and then they got it again for another score. 95-yard drive, 91-yard drive. The thing is that they had 331 total yards of offense, 186 basically in the fourth quarter. They didn't do anything in the first three. Ohio State, I think, just got tired. Kev?
Yeah, well, again, you know, you never know with which way this is going to go. McCord opts out, so the two quarterbacks left behind combined 10 for 23 for 106 yards.
Well, Smith got hurt, so they had to go to the third-string kid.
Kleinholz,
and he showed he was the third stringer.
Yeah,
he got hurt in the first quarter, so they didn't get a chance to play the plan that they had. But you're right; you never know with Kleinholz not being able to do anything for them. That's where we stood. Ole Miss 38, Penn State 25, 2017 at the half. Ole Miss pulled away. Both teams over 500 yards. Dart threw for 379 and three. Judkins rushed for 106. The game nobody wants to talk about. Georgia 63, Florida State 3.
Just horrendous.
Kirby Smart came out and said, someone's got to do something about this. This shouldn't have happened. We didn't play Florida State. He didn't say that they would have lost if they played real Florida State, but he said that this wasn't the team that they were supposed to play. Kirby Smart, Nick Saban, Kirk Ferentz have all come out in the last couple days talking about how this game has changed. Kev?
Well, we could talk about it in the future, but you know, with these college athletes starting to get paid with the NILs and everything else, I think if they're going to get paid, they have some sort of level of
responsibility
to play these bowl games if they're being played.
Absolutely. Oregon 45, Liberty 6. Liberty scored the first touchdown of the game, and then you saw the disparity of talent on the field. Bo Nix was great, and he's the kind of guy you root for. 363 and five touchdowns. Oregon had almost 600 yards of offense. Kev?
Bo Nix could have easily opted out of this game as well, but he decided to play and finish the game and finish the season for Oregon.
There were a couple guys that basically said, why would I opt out? I'm going to play with my brothers. They were there for me all year. I'm going to be there for them. Bo Nix being one of them. Nice to see. Now we get to the main course, gentlemen. Two fantastic, really fantastic semifinal games. You can't ask for much more. Start off with the 1-4, number one seed Michigan against the 4-seed Alabama. Michigan scored. The game finals 27-20 in overtime. Michigan scores with 1:34 left to tie it up. Basically, this is a strange game. Michigan controlled the first half, but only led by three at the break. Alabama kind of took over in the third and early part of the fourth. They took the lead. Then Michigan came back and scored that late touchdown. When you're watching this game, a couple of points I had, and then I'll let you guys open up to it. Michigan controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides. They really did. They got pressure on Milroe all day. Offensively, it looked like they could run the ball a little bit better than they were. And it seemed like, to me, watching the two teams, Alabama was less disciplined. They missed a lot more assignments in pass coverage than Michigan did. Michigan always seemed to be in the right spot. I also thought Alabama underutilized the running game. I thought that, you know, for only to get 14 carries from McClellan for 87 yards is a travesty. They were too much with Milroe, not enough going what was working, and they were running the ball relatively well. And the last play of the overtime, the fourth down from the three, how do you not roll the kid out? How do you not give him triple option there? How do you not have a couple guys running free and let him run? See if he can make a move. He ran him dead into the line. Low snap again, which cost him another field goal earlier in the game. You know, a lot of things to blame Bama for. But at the same time, Michigan, you know, Corum gets stronger. I thought they underutilized him. He only had 19 carries. I can't believe that kid's not getting 25 carries a game. And it took overtime to get him 19 carries. I was confused at how both teams went away from the run. Kev?
Great job by the Michigan defense. They held Milroe to 116 yards passing, his lowest total of the season. Like I said, Milroe had 21 rushes. McClellan only had 14. That makes no sense. Alabama, not quite aware of the assignments. A little undisciplined. You don't expect to see an Alabama defense with a 20-13 lead give up a touchdown drive to tie the game.
Nope.
Then Michigan had a sweat out a fumble on the punt.
Yeah.
Late in the game.
Inside the one.
Jake Thaw was a returner. He tries to field it at the 5. I mean, you stand at the 10 if it goes behind, maybe even the 15. If it's over your head, let it go in the end zone. Who cares? It's under a minute left. He tries to field it, recovers it, and just barely gets out of the end zone. Tackle at the 1, so that Michigan has to make sure they move forward on kneel downs so that they don't get the safety. But then we get to overtime. Like you said, Corum had worn down Alabama by that point. It was 2 Corum runs, the 8-yarder on first down, then the 17-yarder for the touchdown. Alabama gets the ball back. They Milroe 15-yard gain, gets him to first and goal at the 9. The biggest play is second and goal. McClellan lost 5 yards on that one carry. I mean, the Michigan defense, I mean, they shot through the line. McClellan had absolutely no chance. Knocked him all the way back to the 14. I thought the third down play, he gets 11 yards. I thought that was fine because you get him to the point where you have options at that point.
My goal was to get to the 5 or the 7. You got to the 3, even the better I thought.
You got to the 3 where again, I don't run a quarterback draw there. Like you said, either you hand it off to McClellan again to let him get the 3 yards, or you roll him out and give Milroe the option out in space of either having somebody leak out, a tight end leak out or something, or have a chance to run into the end zone with space, not a quarterback draw up the middle.
That was going to be my point too, guys, which is, I hate that play at that point. You know, if you're going to let him take the ball, fine, but don't let him run through the line. That's why you got that running back for.
At the 1 yard line, I get it.
Yeah.
At the 1.5, maybe I get it.
Okay.
The 2 and beyond, I don't get it. At the 3, I definitely don't get it. At the 1, if you want to say Milroe's going to get me the yard and he's a little bit stronger and I'm just going to push and I'm going to have the running back push behind him, do the whole stupid thing, you got me. Fine. But from the 3G, no way.
I agree. And listen, I was kind of surprised that they did roll him out a little bit to see if something opened up. Like you said, maybe one of the tight ends. I was kind of surprised they didn't try to roll him out a little bit. Maybe he then sees a hole or he looks to the tight end and then all of a sudden the hole opens up and he can go in. Just taking the ball and just trying to go straight up the gut. I wasn't a fan of that, I have to tell you, right off the bat. So
that play had no chance to work. The snap was low. By the time he looked up, there was a blitz off the end. Nobody picked up the blitzer. The running back went out, and it was like there was no chance of that play working. Yeah. There was none. Yeah. And so you have 2 unlikable coaches, but to be honest, I thought the team that was a little bit more physical won it. I thought the team that controlled the lines of scrimmage won it. Harbaugh gets that monkey off his back, finally wins a big game, and I thought it was crucial in college anyway at Michigan. So good job by Michigan. Congratulations, 27-20 in overtime. The nightcap, Washington 37, Miami 31.
Yep,
by the way, before we get into it, G, play the opening game at 4, play the second game at 8.
Please.
I can't have these games going until 12:30. What please. The 1 o'clock?
1 o'clock please. In the morning. We're old.
The East Coast can't watch it. God. People my age can't do it.
Darren, it's New Year's Day. You got all day, Dan. Why?
Okay, if they play at 1-5.
There's only 5 damn games left on New Year's. They've ruined New Year's Day anyway.
That was going to be my point anyway, so go ahead, Darren.
Oh, I'm so pissed about it. But, okay, an excellent game, okay? 1,000 yards of offense. That was over 1,000, I should say. Penix was masterful. I thought Penix was unbelievable. The ending of this game was strange, and we'll get to that in a minute. You know, they were playing back and forth, and then Washington kind of took a little bit of control of the game. I thought Ewers got off to a really rocky start, and then he kind of put it back together a little bit. I thought that their two running backs were both getting good yards on carries, and once again, threw the ball a lot. They didn't run the ball a lot. They had 18 carries with their two top running backs, and Ewers threw the ball well over 40 times. So, not well over, but over 40 times. So I don't understand the play calling that goes on with some of these teams. I know Worthy's an excellent wide receiver, and they have a good wide receiver team, but they were running so effectively. Why? Why not just run the ball a little bit more if you're Texas, in my opinion? You know, so this is the end of the game. So Washington, Texas scores. Washington's up 6, okay? Washington gets the ball back, and, you know, basically they recover the onside kick. You got a point?
I was going to go even the drive before that.
Go for the drive before that, then.
So, well, it was 34-21. Texas actually had a good drive going, but fumbled. But yep. You could see the momentum starting with Texas's offense. Washington punted. Texas came back with a touchdown, make it 34-28.
Yep.
Washington's field goal drive, 10 plays, 65 yards, took 4:43 off the clock. But the big question mark to me was with 2:40 left and third and goal at the 10, they passed it incomplete.
You're right.
Texas was starting to take their timeouts. They take one after second down. If you run the ball, you force Texas to take their second timeout.
I understand both schools of thought, though, because if you get the touchdown, you basically end the game.
Game's over anyway. Yep. And with Penix, and you've had a good game passing game anyway the whole game. I mean, Penix, 4:30 through the air.
Yeah.
Beautiful touch on those
deep passes too.
Then you get the Texas drive at that point to get it to within 37-31.
Yeah.
To me, the big key there was Texas drove down the field. Only took a minute 30 off, still had over a minute left, and didn't have to use either of their two timeouts.
So now we get to the last drive. They recover the onside kick. Texas does something cool. They put out two kickers. You don't know which way they're going to kick it. At 1 a.m, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. Okay. Nonetheless, I like that they did that. You can't happen in the pros because you don't suit up as many people. So all I'm saying to my – and I'm saying it to Margaret, who's trying to sleep, and I'm just like, hey, you kneel on it. Three times. You kneel one. You run wide each time. You have Penix just roll out, kneel. Roll out, kneel. Roll out, kneel. I know you're not going for a first down, but what you're going to do is give him the ball with 15 seconds left, maybe less if you don't run it up the gut like they do because it takes longer to get the timeout. All I would do is if they're about to touch you, you just slide. You don't even deal with it. But they run it up the middle and they try to get the first down. On the third down play, Johnson gets hurt. Stops the clock.
Yeah.
With 50 seconds left. That thing should have rolled all the way down to about 15 seconds. Instead, they have to punt it with 50. All right? Punts, whatever. Get the ball at the 31-yard line.
After the fair catch interference.
After the fair catch interference. It was at the 16. They move him up 15 yards because for some strange reason, no one told him not to touch the guy catching the punt. That makes no sense. It was the dumbest thing ever. First two passes by Ewers are nowhere close. Then all of a sudden he completes a big gainer, 41 yards. Then he gets another 16-yard pass a couple plays later, and they get down to the 12 with 15 seconds to go. And I'm saying to myself, as a guy that has Washington on the money line, how is this happening? How is this happening?
At 1 o'clock in the morning.
I just lost Alabama on the money line with a minute and a half left, and now I'm going to lose Washington on the money line. I already lost the parlay, but I'm like, how could this possibly happen? Washington's D stood up a little bit. Ewers had a couple of, I'm not going to say, one of them wasn't even close. The last one was knocked away. They got the last play off with the 1 second left. I was like, oh, be zeros. 1 second, one more play. Washington was the better team, and I'm glad that they held on the way, not because of my stupid bet. It wasn't enough money to change anything. It was more about the fact that I thought they were the better team. But that's why you don't run the ball up the gut. That's why you go wide and slide. You don't give anybody a chance to get hurt because that's the only thing that can cost you the game. And they almost let it happen. And, you know, it was a tough to watch there. G, thoughts?
Oh, it was just – I had the exact same bet you did that day. And I'll tell you, it was – first off, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, which doesn't help the whole scenario. Okay. And then seeing him go down, and I'm like, oh no, the clock stopped. What is now what? I'm like, oh, they got a punt. They got the win, but it was a little frustrating as you got down to that last minute there. So, Kev?
Yeah. The one play that didn't make sense to me was that swing pass on first and 10.
Yeah,
the running back go out and a little swing pass and wound up running out of bounds, but you know, lost one and took
And you're wasting a couple seconds.
What was the point of that play?
Yeah, second down. That was called, but I don't get it.
Yeah. Second down was the incompletion through the end zone. The third down he got under pressure. He had to throw it away. And like you said, luckily for Texas, they had a second left. And the fourth down was a good play by the Washington defense.
It was the first one. I mean, listen, I think this week, let's do the pick at the end. We'll do it with the NFL picks because I think we should. We'll make this like a little climactic, but we're going to give you our title pick. It's Michigan versus Washington, repeat of the 78 Rose Bowl, where when Warren Moon won the MVP that year in a 27-20 win over Michigan. So anyway, that's what I have in college football. G?
Spread is currently Michigan -4.5, over under 55.5. We'll give those at the end.
Absolutely. Back to you, my friend. What do you got, G?
All right, so we'll head over to the NBA. Couple of points. Knicks made a trade. Kev, you want to give us the Knicks trade? I'll let you break it down to start.
All right. Knicks trade, RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quickley, and the 2024 second rounder owned by Detroit, which is going to be way up there. You know, that'll be the first or second pick of the second round for God. Hopefully I say these names right. OG Anunoby.
Yeah, it's close enough.
Precious
Achiuwa. Okay. Achiuwa is fine.
And when Malachi is the easy name, Malachi Flynn. I don't understand this trade. I think OG is a more complete player all around than RJ. I think that portion of the trade, the Knicks got the better player. I think Anunoby's defense gives him the edge over Barrett. He's still going to score you 17 points a game. Barrett is way too streaky. I like that portion of the trade. I don't giving up Quickley for the rest of the package. Achiuwa, you know, I know it's 6'8". He gives you a little bit more size that they need with Robinson after the year. Flynn is just a throw-in at that point. I just didn't like the fact that we gave up Quickley as part of this package. Darren?
I hated it when it first happened, and it's grown on me really quickly, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
The Knicks have had a situation on this team where we have a bunch of guys that need to have the ball in their hand. OG's not that guy. OG's a guy that will play off people, play defense, be very happy, and be a teammate. Quickley was not going to be re-signed here anyway, let's be honest. They were not going to give him the money. He was going to be gone. So I don't think Quickley was staying. You know how I feel about Barrett. He can't hit a freak. He can't hit this broads out of a barn.
Yep.
I don't think he can shoot. So I think that the straight – and Barrett goes back home to Canada. Anunoby comes here, maybe becomes that defensive stopper against a guy like a Jimmy Butler, against a guy like Spider, against a couple of these other wings that maybe makes a bit of a difference in a situation where Barrett couldn't. Now, again, I said something on social media. I had a WTF because I didn't understand it at first. Then the more I kind of broke it down, and the Achiuwa Flynn's not going to see the light of day. Achiuwa might, you know, he's just another lengthy kind of wing, so to speak. But I don't think that they're – I like Quickley more than I like Barrett, so it hurts to lose Quickley.
Me too. Yep.
But if they weren't going to re-sign him, which is what I understand about this trade. I don't know for sure, but that's what I understand. then I get why they did it. I don't like giving up that Pistons second round pick. I would have liked to have kept that because it's non protected. It's someone that can be in the G League. You can send them down. The contract isn't severe. I think I would have traded my own pick and not the Piston pick. That was the only part that really bothered me the more I think about it. G?
So I don't mind it. Does it make them better than the top three in the East? No. It doesn't change that, right? So the trade doesn't make you remarkably better. I do think it changes you up a little bit. And when I say that, what I mean is that the current group that's here wasn't gonna get any better or worse the way I was looking at some of these standings. So whether or not you had Barrett and Quickly here, I don't think that makes the huge deal compared to having Anobi here. Now, the only thing is that that's the one thing. I don't think they were signing Quickly from everything I see because you're going to want too much money in the offseason. And then Anunoby, if he's this 3-and-D guy that can play off the ball a little bit, maybe that helps some of these other guys. Maybe Barrett not being here actually helps Randall a little bit because he's not looking over his shoulder every 16 minutes. You know, for me, I don't think I actually liked it when the deal went down. I actually liked it. I think it mixes this group up a little bit. I like that also because I think at some point the same eight guys are just going to get stale when there's no huge player here. Now, the only additional thing I did like is they made this trade, didn't give up any number ones. So you made the trade, you gave up no number ones. You still have everything intact that if something happens in a couple of months, in a month, whatever the time frame is, and you do, and I don't even know if I agree with this, but if you do then want to go get Mitchell, you do have enough pieces still to do that.
True.
For me, that's where I stand. Kev?
I think Barrett plus a pick for OG would have been more what I would have liked to have seen happen. And then if you're not going to re-sign quickly, plus picks can still be a centerpiece for that upgrade that you need.
You're not going to get as much, though.
No, I'm not sure that that's the case, though.
Maybe I'm overvaluing quickly a little bit.
I like quickly, too. I think we overvalue Barrett. That's me. I know the hard part about the Barrett part is that he's drafted here. He's a homegrown guy, so to speak. Gino doesn't care about homegrown, but Kevin and I do care about homegrown.
I think the fact that RJ came from Duke, I don't care as much.
I know.
And quickly, another guy who, young guy who really cut his teeth here in New York, and I think that's why I like him a little bit more.
Okay.
Listen, I get it. I mean, listen, we're going to find out. I think at 5-5 in the last 10, the Knicks wanted to make a move, and they did it.
Not only 5-5 last, 9-9 in the last 18.
Okay.
So back even further deep than that.
Yeah, so they were just middling, so they decided to make a move. OG will be a guy that I think will – I think overall he's a net positive over Barrett. We'll see how much they miss quickly. Okay. And it's really going to come down to Mitchell Robinson when he comes back and gives him that second big man in the unit, moving Hartenstein back.
Well, it's amazing that they've played 33 games. They've played 21 games against teams over 500 and only 12 against teams under 500. So the schedule's got to ease up at some point here.
Yeah.
I agree. Definitely. It will.
All right. Any other NBA points, Kev?
Yeah. Detroit got to win. They beat Toronto 129-127 on Saturday, break their 28-game losing streak. Congratulations, Detroit Pistons.
I was happy for them.
Yeah. This sounds like a bad night to mention them. OKC, the Thunder. They go out and lose to Atlanta tonight by 3. But before that, they won 5 in a row, and their 5 wins in a row. Minnesota, the Knicks, at Denver, the Nets, and Celtics. So between the two conference leaders, Minnesota and the Celtics, plus the defending champions at Denver, they're sitting there at 23-10 now and only a game or so behind the Timberwolves. Boy, OKC's really developed, and they seem to have made the leap so far in the first half of the year here. Yeah. Let's see if they can keep it up.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And they also, by the way, have a ton of assets if they need to go get somebody. A ton.
Yeah. And the Lakers, since winning that big in-season tournament, are 3-11, 3-8 in their last 11 games.
They are 500 now overall. And, the Lakers are struggling. Yep. And, the Knicks did beat the best team in the league, Minnesota, first time out with Anunoby. So let's see what happens with that.
Yep. And then they had the big Christmas Day win against the Bucks, too, last week. So,
Absolutely.
All right, we'll move to baseball. A couple of points, just a couple of things that happened the last week. Giolito signed with the Red Sox, 2 years, $38 million total. A lot of these middle types players signed. Plesac signed with the Angels, Flexen. Montas signed with the Reds, IKF with the Blue Jays, Mitch Garver with the Mariners. And then we had one trade go down where the Braves acquired Chris Sale from the Red Sox for Vaughn Grisham. The Braves got Chris Sale and $17 million in this deal. And then they are only on the hook for $10.5 million of his salary for 2024. The other $17 million actually gets paid. That's the $17 million they got in the deal. That actually, so they're only on the hook for 10.5 this year. And then they have a $20 million club option for 25. Braves get another starter. Again, he may only wind up making 15 starts, whatever, but another guy in the rotation. Darren?
If there's any team that can get something out of Sale, you think the Braves might be them. He doesn't have all the pressure of the world on him. He just has to come in there and be a mid-rotation guy, which is scary. The Mets' loss of Giolito stunned me. Once again, we keep hearing about all this money from Mr. Cohen. You got to spend it at some point, whether you like him or not. You need to build up this rotation. I thought Giolito, I didn't think the price was that I think all these prices are exorbitant. And Montes got $16 million. I mean, but Giolito was $19 million. I was surprised the Mets didn't make the move and get him. As far as they got outbid by the Sox. Kev, I don't know what your thoughts were on that.
I was shocked.
I can't believe it. Spend the money.
For that price, I would have thought they would have been right there for Giolito.
Yeah, I just thought he was a perfect fit.
And Yankees and Mets just very quiet.
Listen, the Yankees don't come out with Hader, I'm going to be disappointed. And another starter, obviously. Hader's there for the taking. The Yankees got to find a way to take him.
Listen, the starter market just keeps drying up little by little by little. More guys keep signing, and not even big guys, but even middle rotation, end of the rotation guys are signing. And Yankees and Mets just looking at these guys get signed. I mean,
the Yankees are going to have to sign one of those guys. Listen, it could be a Marcus Stroman. I mean, there's a bunch of guys out there. It just. At that lower level, but there's two guys that stand out, and one of them none of us like, and Snell. The other guy that stands out is Montgomery.
Yeah. Yep.
We will see what happens.
And if Minaga's, that decision should be in the next week or so.
Yeah, you would think.
Is up, I think, January 11th.
Yeah, so yeah. It should be. Yeah, I would think by this weekend, I would hope, anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Any other points before we move to our picks for this?
A couple of college hoops things.
Go for it, Dick.
Get everybody going. Conference play underway. There's a couple of good games this weekend that just passed. Marquette beating Creighton being the big one, 72-67. I talked about FAU last week. They got upset by Florida Gulf Coast, 73-69. Colorado State, New Mexico, both teams with 12-1 going in. Colorado State beat New Mexico last night, 76-68. Finally, one other thing. Still the same three undefeated teams, Houston, Ole Miss, and James Madison. Two teams that are winless, Detroit and Mississippi Valley State. A couple of big games that are going on this weekend. You got Illinois-Purdue, 9-1. North Carolina at Clemson, 8-16, even though I think Clemson went down tonight. Happy for you, Kev. Ole Miss, the 22nd seed, undefeated, visits number 5, Tennessee. The 13th seed, the Colorado State Rams, visit Utah State, not ranked, but they're 14-1. Utah, not ranked, but really close to it, visits number 10, Arizona. And then Providence, who lost tonight to Seton Hall at home, visits Creighton. So those are the games that are coming up. Two other quick points. I'm sorry, go ahead, Cap, before I get to them.
And Saturday, noon, CBS, broadcasting around the country, Mississippi State at South Carolina.
Yep. It is the pinnacle game, but neither team ranked, so I didn't mention it.
11-2 versus 12-1. I mean, both have had good starts in that conference.
Yeah, and Mississippi State got Talu back, who's their best player, Talu Smith. So that's that should be a good one. They all should be. I mean, I love this time of year when the college hoop season gets going. So tonight was the start of a series that most people don't talk about. It was a mid-major series. So you got the Summit League and the Big Sky playing eight matchups against each other. Eight at home. The teams at home tonight will be the road team on Saturday. Just thought it was interesting. And then my last point, Will Wade. You guys remember him, the coach at LSU? They got fired for all his little situations. Well, he's back at McNeese State. They're 11-2, including a win at Michigan. I mean, with all the drama this guy has caused, do you think there's a chance that someone's going to make a move and bring him back next year if he's winning at McNeese? I mean, there's a chance. He's 11-2. But that's kind of where we sit with college basketball right now. I don't think that it's so early to tell, but we'll get into a little deeper as we go. Kev?
We could sit here for 40 years and never mention this team ever again. McNeese? Just real quick on the women's.
Oh, God.
No, we've seen some big-time blowouts, but I've never seen a score like this. Grambling.
I saw this.
Played a Division II school, the College of Biblical Studies. It's such a thing. 159-18. I don't care. Men's, women's, what the hell are you doing scheduling that type of game?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
57 turnovers by the College of Biblical Studies. God.
In 40 minutes.
Yeah.
I just understand that. There's more than a turnover a minute. The girls were clearly outclassed, unfortunately.
Why? Why?
No, there's no reason. It's a black eye on the sport.
Is. I mean, that's a terrible thing to do.
Anything else? College hoop? We'll get more into it as the NFL starts winding down and college football is done, basically. G, back to you.
All right. So NFL picks, week 18.
I was awful last week, so I'll go last.
Darren is 30-21 on the season. Kev at 24-27 on the season. Gino at 21-30 on the season. We have secured our rankings as 1, 2, 3. However, we are 75-78 overall. If we can go 6-3, we can actually finish at 500, guys. Can we get 6 wins out of 9 games? Is the question.
That's what I've been picking lately.
Let's try one thing tonight, and that is let's try 9 individual games and not against each other to try to go 6-3.
I'll do my best. I promise you.
All right. In college, just so that we're all on the same page, bowl game picks. Kev was 24-17. Darren, 21-20. Gino, 15-26. So that ranking, that setup is done already also. Let's start with the college game. We'll then move to the NFL schedule for week 18. Kev.
I think we know that Michigan's offense is going to be efficient. They're a little bit more conservative. McCarthy doesn't turn the ball over. They're going to use Corum to wear down the defense eventually. I don't think you're going to have any surprise there. The thing that's going to decide this game is going to be the Michigan defense, which looks very, very good against Alabama. They contained Milroe so well against this Washington offense that we've seen struggle at times, but with a healthy receiving core now, you've got 3 great receivers on that team now, and you saw Penix throw for 400-plus yards against Texas. It's really going to come down to, can the Michigan defense contain Penix? And by contain, I mean keep him to 300 yards even. I mean, that's how good Penix can look at times. I think Washington somehow pulls off this game. I'm going to take Washington plus a 4.5. I'm going to take Washington winning this game 31-27.
Wow. Wow. I'm shocked, Kev. I thought you were locked in with Michigan here. Darren, you're next, buddy.
You know what? I'm rooting for Washington like crazy in this game. I really don't like Michigan much, and I don't like Harbaugh much. I think that Michigan is stronger on both lines of scrimmage. I think they will control the tempo, and I think they will put pressure on Penix that he hasn't felt in a while. I think Michigan's defense is better than anything he faced in the pack, and I think Michigan will win this game somewhat comfortably. I think Michigan wins this game 31-21.
Wow. Again, I thought you would go. Both of you were going to go. The wind up going the opposite way. I like Washington plus the points.
Oh, damn!
I'm kidding. That's right. Listen, I haven't been that bad. I like Washington plus the points. I do think this could wind up being a pretty close game. I also like Washington on the money line. The money line is Washington plus 160. And so I'm taking Washington on the money line. I like them with the points a lot. So we got two for Washington and one for Michigan as we go to the final. The over-under is 55.
I like the under.
Based on your scores, Darren likes the under, Kev likes the over. Based on the scores you guys just predicted. So I will track that and see what happens. Okay. Right. Week 18. Darren, you have honors, sir.
Well, I don't deserve them after the way I pick. All right. Matter,
you have them.
You know what? I was going to pick one that I know you guys are going to pick against me, so I won't do that just to keep it in.
Doesn't matter. Pick who you want.
All right. We'll I think the Colts plus one at home. I think the Colts are going to win the game. I don't know why. Stroud's better than Minshew, but I think Taylor is better than Singletary. I think that the injuries to the Texans wide receiver core, losing a guy like Tank Dell, hurts them. And I think I honestly, even though D'Amico Ryans is a defensive guy, I like the Colt defense a little bit more than I like the Texan defense. I think that the Colts find a way to get through plus one at home. My second pick is the Seahawks minus three. I think that the Hawks will beat the Cardinals. I think they need this to stay alive. I think that Pete Carroll will not go out with a losing record this year. I think they'll find a way to go 9-8. I'll lay the three. Third one's a tight one. I'm taking the Saints minus three against the Falcons. I think they're playing for their lives. I think that they're going to play well. I had Atlanta last week, and they crapped the bet against the Bears. And that was the one I was looking at, was what I think the Bears. But I'm going to go with the Saints laying three. I just think they're better than the Falcons. I think they find a way to win. Colts plus one, Saints minus three, Seahawks minus three.
Okay. Kev, over to you, buddy.
I like the Saints over the Falcons also. So I agree with you there. My first game, Buccaneers have got to win this game against the Panthers. Panthers are just awful. Spread's only 4.5. They're in Carolina, but I don't think that matters too much. I'm taking Tampa minus the 4.5. My second game, I'm going to the Sunday night game. We talked about it earlier. I don't see how the Dolphins are 3-point underdogs to the Bills at home. I'm taking the Dolphins plus a three. And my third game, they haven't looked good the last several weeks. They've lost a bunch of games here. They've got to right the ship. I think the Eagles go out. At some point, they have to play like they are serious about making a move in the playoffs. Spread's only 5. I'm taking the Eagles minus 5 against the Giants.
All right.
All right, G.
I like Kev, I like the Tampa Bay pick a lot. And Darren, I love the Seattle pick a lot, by the way.
Okay.
I'm going to start with the Saturday game. I'm taking Pittsburgh minus the 3.5. There again, I don't think Tomlin's going out this way. No Lamar Jackson. I'm taking Pittsburgh minus the 3.5. My second game is going to be Jacksonville on the road against Tennessee. And Tennessee, Vrabel's not going to go out quietly. He's going to run the hell out of Derrick Henry. It could be Derrick Henry's last game as a Titan. He's going to basically run the hell out of him. I still think Jacksonville finds a way to get this game done. Jacksonville minus 4.5 is my second game. And my third game, and here it comes. I am taking Chicago plus the 3.5 points.
I was torn.
And this is exactly why I think Seattle's getting in, because I think they're winning, and I think Green Bay's losing this game. Chicago plus 3.5. Eberflus has saved his job, I think, the way they've come down the stretch. Okay, and so Chicago, Jacksonville, Pittsburgh are my three choices. Week 18. Woo!
Let's go 7-2.
Regular season. All right, listen, 7-2 would be great. I'll take 6-3 and have us get going to 500 for the year. Let me tell you.
I went 3-0 for my personal 500.
Oh man, it was a tough last couple of weeks for me picking, but I'm excited about this, and we get into the playoffs, and it gets all good. Football's king. Just wish the officiating was a little more consistent, but we can't have everything. Any other points for you boys before we wrap up?
When we come back next week, we'll have a college football national champion, and we'll have some playoff matchups to talk about. Because the 3 days or 4 days after that will be super wild card weekend, Darren. I know you love that.
You know what? It's funny because then we'll get to figure out who's gonna have to play the Monday night, who's gonna play the early Saturday. You know, all the crap that goes on. But we'll see what happens. Super wild card weekend. They're always trying to sell us something. Anyway, we are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Darren here with Gino, here with Kevin, talking about the wonderful, wild, and fun world of sports, despite bad officiating in most of the sports that we watch. You can get our podcast anywhere you download a podcast, whether it be an Apple product, TuneIn, Spotify, whatever. We post a lot on social media. We're going to keep posting on social media. What we ask you to do is like, share, respond, tell us you hate us, whatever it may be. But just get the word out. We want to talk to you guys more and more. And without any further ado, Happy New Year, and may your sports be with you.